This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Noah Lim in the studio this morning. Tomorrow will be the climax of a three-cornered fight involving two parties and one independent candidate for the slim by-election in the Perak State Legislative Assembly.
Yeah, the three individuals are Barisan Nationals Mohammad Zaidi Aziz, an independent candidate Ami Kushari Mohammad Tanusi. He will be representing Perjuang, Mahathir's new party. And also another independent candidate, Santara Sakaran Subramaniam.
And the state by-election will be the second in the post-COVID-19 era, with some political commentators saying that there is already voter fatigue slipping in. But results will nonetheless be scrutinised closely, aside from revealing the feelings on the ground for this small, rural and Malay majority constituency. It is also an indication of the popularity of UMNO and Perjuang. For more on this, we have on the line with us Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute, a frequent commentator on Malaysian politics. Bridget, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Many are saying that the by-election will likely serve as a litmus test for Tun Mahathir's newest Perjuang party's popularity. Do you agree with this sentiment?
Good morning. I think it's actually three markers. Obviously, it serves as a litmus test for Perjuang in the sense that if it gets half of the support of what Bersatu got before in this seat, which is around 3,000 voters, it's almost a moral victory, given that it's a new kid on the block in this process. But I think there are two other important indicators in this by-election. It is also about how UMNO is managing its own divisions within it itself, because of the divisions between different factions, and how they're responding after the Najib verdict. The second thing that I think is also critical is that it is actually how the coalition, BN, PN, MN, are working together. And I think if there is a significant victory for UMNO in this election, my projection is at this point there may be snap elections that will be held this year. And so I think these markers are, this election is very important for indicating not only the strength of different parties, but also what the direction for the elections for the country.
Who do you expect will win?
Well, it's been a very close race in the sense that it should have been an UMNO decisive, overwhelming victory. But I think there has been a movement on the ground. I think it still leans towards UMNO because of the strength of resources and, of course, the fact that it is an incumbent. But I think there has been a lot of voter fatigue. Turnout is going to be very important in this election. The relative support of non-Malays who in this election will be important indicator to see whether or not the current government led by Muhyiddin Yassin is able to bridge some of the ethnic polarization of voting patterns. And I think also the strength of UMNO in terms of its galvanizing its base, what size the majority will be. If it's a very close race and it's a slim victory, then this is really a victory for Perjuang and for Pakatan Harapan Plus.
Now, despite an official narrative that Bersatu and UMNO are going to be working together in PN, in Perikatan National or Muafakat National, there have been incidences like Armada members being booed at Barisan National youth events, which paint a different picture. What are your thoughts on the two parties' relationship moving forward?
Well, I think it's, it's a very, there are clearly lots of differences that are being played out in the press. These differences have to do with competition, with leadership, with positioning. And some of these differences are really substantive. But I think at the real leadership level, there has been a lot of cooperation as they work towards preparing towards elections. And so I think the real issues is how the differences are playing out in the on the grassroots and how that the leadership decisions move to the base and how the public is responding to that. And this is where Slim is a very interesting election in that it shows how the grassroots and the public are responding to these different coalitions. And I think, clearly, there are real problems that exist at the top levels, but these don't necessarily are clearly being articulated and addressed as it moves down within the different party machinery. And I think that this is where the differences are going to really take heart as they try to move from the elite decisions to that of the public.
Zooming out to the bigger picture, why does UMNO not want to join Perikatan National? And where does this really leave Perikatan National without UMNO?
Well, AMNO doesn't want to join because it doesn't want to be second fiddle. It wants to be in the dominant position. It's a dominant position in BN, and it's also a dominant position in terms of MN, or at least it was an equal partner vis-a-vis PAS. If it chooses to be in part of PN, it's basically accepting the leadership of Muhyiddin Yassin, and it becomes a secondary a party. And it's very difficult for a party like AMNO to become in a position that is anything but number one. And I think this is something that they're grappling with, and so as a result, it's choosing to to try to set its own parameters. And I think at the same time, it has something that's very important. Why parties like MIC and MCA and others don't join? They want to stick with more BN, and they're not joining PN. Is that they know that AMNO is actually the one that delivers them the votes, and so they're sticking with AMNO as opposed to moving to PN because it actually is for their electoral survival.
So without AMNO, does Perikatan Nasional, does it have a reason to exist?
It has a reason to exist in that it's Muhyiddin's vehicle, but without AMNO, it's not going to be electorally viable. And I think that it's not going to have the coalition parties, the non-Malay parties such as MCA and MIC in it. And so, there are two different dimensions of this conflict, right? One is the conflict that's happening within the Malay parties, and there's these three different configurations, the BN, the MN, and the PN. And of course, they're competing over competition of seats and trying to deal with their grassroots in a particular way that fight against each other, change alliances over time. And then there are the non-Malay parties that are actually very important for an electoral outcome. And these parties, such as MCA, MIC, PBS, and Sabah, they are the ones that will determine whether or not these coalitions can actually form government in these respective states or at the national level. And they're looking very carefully to say, okay, which of these parties and which of these leadership patterns are going to provide the resources and the capacity for me to win. And I think what we're seeing is in SLIM, this was not an issue as much from the perspective of non-Malay parties, but it was an issue in terms of Malay parties, and it's a test of how they're working together as a group and others. In the case of Sabah, which is coming within the next month, we're seeing as they announced the coalition, PN coalition on Saturday, whether or not non-Malay parties are comfortable working in that coalition. And I think Muhyiddin Yassin is really facing a struggle to get his coalition off the ground in any meaningful way because of the realities. People are looking and saying, okay, what can you give us that we can win? And what are our advantages being part of you as opposed to being part of the past? And in fact, sometimes the BN symbol, for example, is more important for the electorate, and they recognize, okay, why should I take a new logo that nobody knows as opposed to something that some of the voters know? So all of these calculations are coming in and creating pressures, as well as the issues of competition and resources at the elite level. They're now questioning how they're going to approach at the ground, and this is creating a lot of differences. And PN itself is still very, very weak.
Bridget, thank you so much for your time this morning. That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute and a frequent commentator on Malaysian politics, breaking down the intricate nature of the relationships at play and the importance of SLIM as a litmus test, right? So if it's an outright strong win from AMNO, we could see GE15 this year. If Pejuang gets half the vote that Bersatu got last time, it's a moral victory for Tun Mahathir's new party. Interesting. I'm definitely going to be watching this.
Yeah, so likely to be an AMNO win. The question is the size of the majority. In the last elections in the previous general elections, Mohammad Kushlairi Abdul Talib, the former MP of SLIM, he won by about a 2,000 majority. So the question is whether in this coming elections, the AMNO candidate or the BN candidate will beat this majority, or will it just be a SLIM majority? I had to put that in, right?
You had to, Noelle. Did you really have to do that?
I had to.
But it is going to be interesting, right? Because how this plays out, the litmus test factor, and I think everyone's going to be watching this as a indicator of how strong Tun Mahathir's party is going to be, right? So he's going off on his own, and whether he'll be able to take some of that voter base from Bersatu, and how that plays into Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's power base. Right now, we're going into a few messages, and then the 8 a.m. news bulletin, followed by the Breakfast Grill, where Wong Shanling speaks to constitutional expert Professor Shad Salim Faruqi and Edin Koo, the founder of Pusaka. And here's the Mercedes-Benz legendary rock break to take you there. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.